Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. You can send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Another way you can get questions to us is during our weekly broadcast from noon to 2 p.m. You can call us at 877-726-8255, and you can pose a question live on the air. And, you know, a lot of people take advantage of the fact that you can now record a question of that number. So lots of ways to get through to us. We like this format, though, because written format. And
This is great. Get a lot of questions,
so Send us an email.
This comes from Cheryl. Hi, always enjoy your podcast as I do my morning walks, especially your weekly podcast on September 28th regarding the above subject, which is nitric oxide. As I listened, I wondered if it would be something that would be good for me. I'm a 77-year-old female, good health and weight, but I had a heart attack 2 years ago, and I have a stent. 2 weeks ago, I had a stress test. All my numbers are good, as well as my lipid counts. I do, however, have a high lipoprotein little A and low blood pressure.
Okay, so let's pause for a second. LP little A is a strong risk factor for cardiovascular.
Stronger determinant than LDL cholesterol, likely.
So we're fixating on LDL.
And cholesterol in general.
LP little A could be a risk factor. It's a hereditary risk factor. Mm-hmm. It's something that we should be testing for more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I take low-dose aspirin, Brilinta, metoprolol. I'm on a low-carb diet because of low blood sugar.
Brilinta is a blood thinner that's a non-Coumadin blood thinner.
Yeah. Cheryl's wondering if nitric oxide would be beneficial, and if so, how much?
Yeah, it's beneficial. Yeah, because, you know, for circulatory problems, you want to dilate your blood vessels, provide them with the impetus to produce nitric oxide.
Yeah.
So, the product that I'm liking these days is, she listened to the podcast. It's Berkeley Life.
Berkeley Life, yes.
And it's available at drhoffmanstore.com. Mm-hmm. And, or you can use the drop down menu at drhoffman.com. Mm-hmm. Click on the store. It'll take you to the store and you can find, you know, just type in Berkeley Life in the search and they can give you their, it'll take you to their nitric oxide support. Now, how much do you take? You take two. Just two, usually in the morning. I take it before exercise.
Before exercise. And I don't know, that's great.
It's in my imagination or are my workouts getting
endurance.
Better? Yeah. I think my workouts are getting a little better.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific. That nitric oxide is boosting your endurance.
Although when you're
probably.
Taking, you know,
less short of breath.
20 different things, it's hard to know.
Hard to know.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it has been demonstrated that people who are given this prior to cycling tests can cycle faster and longer when they take the nitric oxide supplements.
There you go. So there's good reason to take it, Cheryl, given your health history.
And also for blood pressure control, because it may shave
a couple. She has low blood pressure.
Oh, okay. So she's concerned, is it going to make my blood pressure too low?
Maybe.
It probably, you know, the only circumstance where I can think that it might lower blood pressure too much is if you're on a lot of blood pressure medication and you take it.
Brilinta.
That's a bit, metoprolol is more of a heart, it does affect blood pressure, but it's more to slow the heart, protect the heart from exertion.
Yeah. Kind of like a pacemaker in a pill.
Yeah. You know, I'm not crazy about it. I mean, if I were seeing her and advising her, I know it's part of that drill after you've had a heart attack to go on that. But, you know, it's a medication that kind of blunts the efficacy of exercise. Mm-hmm. It protects the heart from the adverse effects of exercise, but it also diminishes the beneficial effects of
it. It doesn't let your heart rate go up.
Exactly.
It doesn't want, it's a, you don't want to,
but you want to, you miss that training effect.
Yes.
And so, you know, unless it's really de rigueur, I would think about convincing the cardiologist, like, I've been okay for a couple of years after my heart attack.
Had a stress test, all the numbers are good.
By the way, that's pretty much a blueprint for what Bernie Sanders is undergoing now.
Huh.
You know, think about those meds. Those are probably the type of meds he's taken. You know, he's had some stents. He's probably on a blood thinner. He's probably on a statin. She's on a statin, right?
She is not. Low-dose aspirin, metoprolol, and Brilinta.
I'm kind of surprised she's not on a statin. It's pretty much almost a diktat, you know, that after a heart attack, you go on a statin.
That's true.
You know, so I don't know.
Maybe she forgot to mention
how she evaded that.
Maybe she
cajoled her cardiologist into letting her off the hook.
Well, lipid counts are good according to her. So let's assume.
So that's the thing, though. They don't even care anymore. They just say
it's
heart attack.
It's the lowering of the inflammation and the fact that there was a heart attack.
Right.
Secondary prevention.
It's they want to
where statins work is more secondary prevention.
Yeah.
Right? Cheryl, thank you for your question. Nitric oxide may work for you.
Yeah. Good point, which to pause because we want to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. So here it goes. Listen up.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, three stand out, which help maintain your healthy blood sugar. Glucose management with berberine, glucose balance, and chromate. These botanical supplements can play an important role in proper insulin function, normal energy production, promotion of healthy body weight, and maintenance of healthy blood sugar levels that are already within the normal range. Their ingredients are backed up by solid scientific data. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocol for life balance. That's drhoffman.com/protocol for life balance.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now, back to our questions. What's next, Lily?
We have a question on, let's see here. This is about a recent article I wrote, Dr. Hoffman. Hi, Layla. Thanks for the articles on the dangers of having cholesterol levels that are too low. However, you neglected to inform us what you consider to be too low. Ron, thanks for your question. So, Dr. Hoffman, I wrote this about having too low cholesterol is a problem. And I bring up the Framingham Heart Study, where they found that people with a total cholesterol of 200 or less had poorer recall, possibly lower IQ, scored lower on verbal acuity, may have more tendency for
200
mood
or less.
200 or less. A total of 200 or less.
So that's good news. My total is 230. I just got checked.
There you go. You just got.
My HDL is 75. So
that's good. That's good. But listen, any other doctor or cardiologist wants to see a total cholesterol of what? 127 keeps coming to mind because that's a number I see.
LDL below 70. LDL below 70.
LDL below 70. On somebody on a statin, that's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
But even a total cholesterol of 160 or less is shown to be a risk factor for cancer.
Right. But is correlation is not necessarily causation.
Yes.
That's what is called a hypothesis-forming observation.
Yeah.
It's an epidemiologic study. In other words, they didn't, you know, lower people's cholesterol and compare people with low cholesterol, artificially low, to people with normal cholesterol to see if they were going to suffer from cognitive impairment or cancer or any of those things.
Yeah.
And so far, you know, I have to say, I'm looking for that that smoking gun evidence that statins are causing an epidemic of cognitive impairment or causing cancer. I look very carefully for that. Mm-hmm. And I can't say that that evidence is robust.
Okay.
That, you know, lowering cholesterol mm-hmm. artificially with a statin either causes cancer or causes cognitive impairment. Now, there are some cases where people get cognitive impairment
with
statins.
That's true.
Relatively uncommon,
mm-hmm.
but can happen.
The other thing that can happen is muscle function.
Oh, sure.
Fatigue,
yeah, that very
that.
Common. That very
because
common.
Because it kills CoQ10.
Yeah, yeah.
Number three, what about what it does to A1C? What about what it
well,
does
then,
to blood
yeah,
sugar?
Yeah, increasing blood sugar.
Especially
right.
in women.
Right.
Very, that may indicate diabetes right. if well, you're on statin.
So back to the question.
While.
The question is, what is too low?
What is too low?
So here's the thing. That it's we're talking about a general trend, and we can't say, oh, if you're 150 or above, you're fine.
Right.
And if you are, you know, you have a cholesterol of 120, it's a problem, so eat a lot of eggs. And even if you eat a lot of eggs, it may not help.
It may not help because
we generate 20%. More of our cholesterol.
Exactly, yeah. 80% of it.
So here's, in a lot of these studies, you know, sick people with cirrhosis of the liver, people who are like running on fumes, they're about to check out. They don't make a lot of cholesterol. Cholesterol has to be synthesized by a healthy liver.
That's true.
And so, you know, we also see this phenomenon of especially older women
mm-hmm.
with very high cholesterol in the high 200s, over 300, but a very high HDL. Like we
yes.
saw a woman like, she was like 330, but her HDL was 100 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And she doesn't have any plaque.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I go, it's boy, you better, I hope you have a lot of money saved because you're going to be living a long time.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, because it's really a sign of longevity. Although,
yeah.
we have to check sometimes paradoxically or, you know, different stroke for different folks, that high cholesterol can be a portent of cardiovascular risk.
Right, right.
So we don't know.
But that high cholesterol could be doing other things like saving your brain from dementia.
Yeah.
It could be that cholesterol rises for a reason, for a good reason.
In response to a certain stress.
In the setting of anorexia nervosa,
yes.
the eating disorder, cholesterol levels can shoot up into the 300s because the body is trying to save itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, that's right. That it is actually, you know, when you can't determine, you know, you talk to a person and they say, well, you know, they look really skinny. And you go, oh, but I eat plenty. And
I ate a whole cantaloupe yesterday.
Right.
And what else? Well, I ate a whole cantaloupe yesterday.
Frankly, as a nutritionist, you're in a predicament because sometimes people will lie.
Yes.
But one blood test that's a little bit of a telltale is suspiciously high cholesterol in someone with not a lot of
right.
food intake.
Unless it's very familial or something mm-hmm. like yeah. that, of course. A good history is always required.
So this is try to boil it down to these rules like, you know, if your cholesterol is too high, too low, take a statin if it's too high. Yeah. If it's too low, eat some eggs.
Yeah.
It's not that simple.
It's not that simple. I could think of a couple of cases off the top of my head that we've had over the years, Dr. Hoffman, of people coming in complaining of some depression or low mood or just really for no good reason. Everything is good. They can't put their finger on it. And we'll see a total cholesterol low of about 135.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say to them, you know, that's too low.
That was me when I was macrobiotic. I had a cholesterol of 125, 135. Now it's 230.
By the way, how did you feel mood-wise being macrobiotic? Did it do it? I mean, you were in college, so.
Wait. I was.
You were invincible anyway.
I was between college and med school. I didn't want to know what I wanted to do in life.
Uh-huh.
I was poor.
Mm. No, that'll happen when you're in college.
There's a lot of variables there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you know, I don't.
At least a macrobiotic diet was good on your wallet.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. Brown rice mm-hmm. and kale.
Yeah.
You know, and tofu. So.
Right. So, Ron, thank you for that very thoughtful question about too low. And, you know, we all have a unique biochemistry. So what's too low for one person may not mm-hmm. be for another.
Right.
It certainly depends on
and,
other.
And I hasten to add, I also lived in New York
mm-hmm.
in the 1970s and 80s. And it was like.
It was bleak here.
It was like. Bleak, and it was like Dodge City.
Yeah,
you know, it was like
I didn't know because I was just a kid, but it's
like
bleak.
It's like you park your car on the street, guaranteed mm-hmm. you'd get the windows broken and, you know, your radio would
your
be
radio
gone.
Your radio is gone, yeah.
That was why people would have those radios that slide out.
Right, right.
Remember the radios that would slide out?
Benzi?
CD players.
Boxes, I want to say bento box, but that's a Japanese.
Right, you know, yeah, it was like a...
that's a Japanese dinner, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
What was it called? Benzi box?
Yeah, I know. It would.
We
right.
had that. Yeah. We had that. When yeah, you take your radio out with
right.
you. Exactly.
And you put the low jack on the steering wheel.
Right, 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 right.
Right.
And all of that stuff.
You know,
the
and
80s.
Then, yeah, and... You know, you'd go downstairs and, you know, the junkies would be like selling, you know,
exactly.
selling heroin. And it's
exactly.
like,
and the subways didn't work.
This is the West. This is like the West Village. And yeah. now it's like, yeah, you know, those apartments now go for like $3-4 million.
Exactly. Exactly. The East Village, too, is on. Yeah. It's has been on the way. Wow.
So.
Okay.
It was there were other factors
there
besides
were other factors.
Diet.
There were other factors besides diet. Okay. We have an email here from
the Squeegee Men. Remember the Squeegee Men?
Yes.
You'd stop your car.
Oh, they're still there. Some of them are still there,
okay.
coming out of the Lincoln Tunnel or some places like that.
They sell you water sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
Right.
They sell you water.
Okay. That's a public service.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Or a candy bar or something like
making
that.
Making a comeback.
Right. But the Squeegee guys, yeah.
They got to live.
Careful.
They got to live.
They do. Vincent writes, brain tumor. Is there any way to get rid of a brain tumor naturally? The tumor is benign.
Okay, so...
Benign, cut it out.
Well, here's the thing. I just had this conversation with a patient. You know, she's been diagnosed as having a type of brain tumor called a meningioma.
Yes.
And
that's a tumor of the brain lining.
Lining, right, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's commonly referred to as a brain tumor.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what type of brain tumor this guy has, but mm-hmm. you know what? You know what's interesting is... that while brain tumors are very challenging medically, there's almost more prospect for treating a malignant brain tumor with nutrition and diet and integrative methods than a benign tumor. Because there's something about a benign tumor that's slow growing. It's not that amenable to diet or anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're short of doing a craniotomy, opening up the skull and, you know, using a scalpel, you know, the old-fashioned way.
Right.
There's now various other ways to get at brain tumors. You can use radiation or you proton beam, or you can use high-frequency ultrasound. I mean, I don't even know some of these very high-tech, non-invasive ways to shrink benign brain tumors without going in and removing them.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's an example of, you know, this is how I advise my patient. I said, this is not amenable to nutritional therapy.
Yeah.
You know, you're just, it's not an emergency because it's benign.
Yeah.
But they can grow and they can put pressure on other parts of the brain.
Yes.
And that's how they cause problems.
Right.
You can have vision problems and you can have high blood pressure or headaches or seizures even maybe.
More disclosure, my mother, this was again back in the 90s.
Yep.
She had headaches for 10 years that nobody was paying attention to.
Hey,
HMOs.
A middle-aged woman with headaches. What else is new?
Right, right, right. That's what they wrote it off as. Oh, stress, middle-aged, all
right,
this kind of thing. No, her headaches were specific. If she coughed, it hurt. If she bent her head over, it hurt.
Oh.
When she vacuumed, it hurt.
Well, that's a sign.
And then she started getting double vision. Finally, they sent her for an MRI. They found a meningioma on the left side, and it was approaching Broca's area. Broca's area
the
has
speech.
To do with speech.
Yep.
So if she let this go, or if it wasn't found, she was eventually going to have trouble speaking.
Right.
Best case scenario, she was in and out of the hospital in 4 days. They removed it. Everything was fine. She didn't have any after effects like seizures. Apparently, Elizabeth Taylor had seizures after her brain surgery.
Wow.
My mother had nothing.
So long and short
that.
Of it, your mother is alive.
Yes,
at
she's
the tender
83.
Age, and she just jumped on a transatlantic flight to visit her your sister, her other daughter.
Right.
And
yeah, we just went to Switzerland and back.
How did mom weather that trip?
She was great.
Man,
she had great fun. She drank wine with us both.
You know,
she had fun.
I aspire to be able to jump over to Switzerland for, you know, 3 or 4 days and then jump back when I'm 83 because it's stressful.
Well, coming back home, I mean, her clock wasn't right. Her circadian rhythms weren't right. It takes about a week.
Yeah.
But it was no worse for her than a younger person, for myself even, you know.
Wow.
That's just what it is. But she did. She did well. Yeah. So, well, let's talk about non-benign brain tumor, malignant brain tumor.
So with malignant brain tumors, there is some hopeful research from various researchers that show that a ketogenic diet can be helpful even for the dread brain tumors, the glioblastoma type of brain tumor that claimed the life of John McCain famously recently, and Ted Kennedy.
Yes.
So now, it's not a surefire method. It's a challenging diet to follow. It's thought that that may be, its effects may be augmented with hyperbaric oxygen.
Yes.
And or certain drugs which block glutamine because the brain is
blocks
fed.
Glucose.
But
glutamine?
Glutamine, yeah. It turns out that...
glutamate.
And this is not a knock on taking L-glutamine, but it turns out that in certain cancers, including glioblastoma, a fuel for the cancer is glutamine.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to be on a low glutamine diet. You have to not have any protein because it's so ubiquitous in proteins. Mm-hmm. And so... one of the therapies is to combine ketogenic diet, which restricts the glucose fuel for the tumor, while you block the glutamine with a medication.
Yeah.
And so this is augmented with hyperbaric oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it'd be one thing if there was a slam dunk conventional therapy for glioblastoma. There's no conventional therapy that is other than a delaying tactic for glioblastoma. So it's really... It really might be worthwhile exploring that for somebody with an aggressive, incurable brain tumor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a choice. I mean, some people might say, yeah, I'm going to die. I'd rather eat what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and others will say, if this is going to buy me time or put me in remission, I'm willing to do anything, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So.
So that's all the time that we have for today's Q&A with Layla. And a reminder, check out our many other podcasts, subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget our live broadcast Saturdays from noon to 2 p.m., which we also convert into, I mean, if you miss it, it's okay, because we convert it into a podcast for those of you who enjoy listening to podcasts while you do your morning exercise or chores or walk. We love the way that people listen to Intelligent Medicine. It's usually people getting a double health benefit. You know, you take a walk, listen to a podcast, you'll benefit in a couple of ways. Thanks, Layla.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.